His heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. This morning we are both comforted and challenged by the readings. Comforted because we hear about how Jesus, the Son of God, is moved emotionally by the sight of so many people in need, and challenged because Jesus is teaching the apostles, and therefore ourselves including, how to serve. And this service comes to fruition in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, which we share together this morning. Allow me to explain these movements by beginning with the phrase, moved with pity. The English translation, unfortunately, does not capture the real essence of the Greek word, sphagnoxomai, which is, according to my friend and Jesuit scholar, Father Mike Simoni, is an earthier term used to describe Jesus' state. According to Father Simoni, the word means something like guts, bowels. A literal translation would read something like, he was moved in his guts for them. And by using this word, St. Mark makes a strong connection between Jesus and the God of Israel, according to Father Simoni. What Mark is doing is connecting mercy, which is regularly described in other biblical places, with the same word. And Father Simoni goes on to note how the Hebrew word behind this term is raham, a term closely related to the words for womb and love. Not surprisingly, the word is strongly identified with motherhood. So the feeling Jesus experiences is similar to that of a mother responding to an infant's hunger or to her child's cry. This image of God occurred to me as I watched and listened yesterday to Mrs. Tia Coleman, a survivor of Thursday's tragic boat sinking in Branson, Missouri. As you may know, Mrs. Coleman lost 9 members of her family in that tragic accident, including her husband and her 3 children. Perhaps you heard or read the interview which she gave yesterday, when she explained, I quote, "And I said, Jesus, please keep me. Just keep me so I can get to my children. Keep me, Lord. I kept swimming. I was swimming as fast as I could, and I couldn't reach the life jackets." Is this not the compassion of our God? This woman's crying out at the gut level. This is Jesus crying out at the gut level for the people of his time. And he was teaching his disciples how to respond at the gut level with the deepest emotions. Besides providing a comforting image of God, the readings also present a challenging one. Listen again to the words of Jeremiah from the first reading. "Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them." These ancient words echoes down through the centuries to our own time, as we ponder what has recently been made public about some of our political and indeed our religious leaders. Indeed, in our own Archdiocese of Washington, this week's disclosure of another incident concerning Cardinal McCarrick is quite upsetting and challenging for all members of the Archdiocese. I should note that Cardinal World has issued another statement about this latest revelation, and it will be posted on our parish website this week. I should also note that if any parishioner wishes to discuss the emotional issues associated with this scandal, members of our parish staff and myself will be available to discuss it. Allow me to further elaborate what is offered by these challenging and yet comforting readings. For instance, the gospel is taken from the 6th chapter of Mark's gospel, And so it must be seen in the context of what has preceded it and what follows it. What preceded today's gospel is what we heard last week about Jesus sending out the 12 apostles, two by two, to go forth and preach the good news. And what follows today's passage is what we'll hear next week, namely Mark's version of the miracle of the loaves and fishes. So, when we hear this week that Jesus instructed his apostles to come away and rest for a while, and how they gathered with Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught, was not Jesus listening as a good teacher, giving him a sense of what is required for a good shepherd? What he would require certainly is accountability, a contemplative prayer to take some step backwards and observe what's happening in your mission activities. And so might they have not mentioned to Jesus what Jesus himself experienced, namely temptation? If Jesus was tempted in the desert, you can be assured that the apostles two by two were themselves tempted. Tempted the way Jesus was, tempted the way we are, particularly around challenges of possession, pride, and pleasure. He would have listened to them, encouraged them to pray to God to resist these temptations. And would they not have recited the Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," when they went and rest a while? Did we not pray that today? How is the Lord, for each one of us, a shepherd, guiding us, comforting us, challenging us, and in times holding us accountable? You know, in our own lives, the seven sacraments are exercises of compassion and challenge and accountability. What do I mean? Each sacrament, in its own way, calls forth a recognition of sin. From baptism to the sacrament of the sick, it's there. Each time we begin our liturgy, we recall our sins. Why? To prepare ourselves for what Jesus then did in Mark's gospel, the miracle of the loaves and fishes, namely the beginning of the Eucharist. And so what Jesus was doing with his disciples was preparing them, teaching them, guiding them, come away with rest, and then preparing them to receive worthily the Eucharist. This is the gift that we are given, a gift that each time we gather around word and sacrament, we recognize the journey of our life, the accountability to which each one of us is called in our relationships as disciples. Where are those temptations? Where are our own failings as shepherds, as men and women called in Scripture? This is the gift of our faith. The ways in which the apostles were sent out, we too are sent out in our own way. And I invite each of us to think, if we have a chance in our vacation, whether or not we've had it or will have it, somehow to come away and rest. It is so important. Otherwise, we lose balance. Executives and others who are mentored into leadership are cautioned not to work so hard that they are thrown off balance. This is one of the great temptations of ministry. In our own way, we have to have those moments of rest so we can be balanced, so that we will not trespass into those temptations. And so, my brothers and sisters, our Eucharist today and each time we gather is a gift. It's a gift of God to both sense the compassion of our God, sense the challenge and accountability, and sense the great gift that we are given with the body and blood of our God, of Christ, who comes forth and says, "Comfort ye, I am with you. For the Lord indeed is our shepherd, and we shall not be lost."